FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 11/27/19. Well, you keep hearing about these red flag laws, laws that will supposedly remove mentally unstable people who have guns, take their guns away, and stop them from committing heinous acts. You keep hearing about expanded universal background checks, and that's going to stop it. And really, we know this is false. There's really only one thing that stops them, and you'll hear more about that later. But first, Dr. John R. Lott Jr. is going to be on with us shortly, and you know him well. More guns, less crime, probably the foremost firearms research expert in the country, crime expert as well. And, well, he's on with us now. If you got any questions or you think that guns make us safer, then please email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. So, Dr. Lott, it's great to have you back on. We've got to do something. All of these mass shootings, and the answer is always to take guns away from law-abiding citizens. Some things just never change, do they?
Unfortunately, no. You know, I understand the reaction that people have. They see something bad that happened with a gun, and they think, well, if I can only take away the guns, then bad things won't happen. The problem is that they don't see all the bad things that are prevented by people being able to go and defend themselves. And that, you know, you look around the world, every single place that's either banned all guns or all handguns has seen large increases in murder rates after the ban. You would think that once or twice, just simply out of randomness, you'd have a situation where you'd see murder rates fall or even at least stay the same. But you don't see that. And there's a simple reason for that. And that is when you ban guns, but I mean, this is true for gun control regulations generally, you have to worry about who's most likely to obey the rules. And if the rules are primarily obeyed by law-abiding good citizens and not criminals, then you're going to end up making it easier for criminals to go and commit crime. You know, you mentioned these things like the red flag laws, the universal background check. You know, the thing that's amazing to me is, you know, like the universal background checks, it's something that they pushed after each of these mass public shootings. And yet there's not one mass public shooting this century that would have been stopped if such laws had been in effect federally. I mean, it didn't. I mean, there are a number of states that have had these laws and still have had mass public shootings. But it's just, you know, it's. It makes you wonder why they keep pushing things that are completely unrelated to the crimes that they're using to go and push the law.
Yeah. And, you know, just like socialism never works, gun control never works. Both cases against both have been firmly proven and demonstrated throughout history. And yet that's not enough. What right. What is it that is it just... Is it just ignoring reality? I never am quite certain what it is that they are thinking here. It seems to be madness that pervades that we never actually have an intelligent conversation on the topic.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess some of the things that bother me is that we keep seeing these mass public shootings keep occurring in places where guns are banned. You know, in the United States, about 95% of these mass public shootings occur in places where guns are banned. Law-abiding citizens obey the rules. The criminals don't obey them. In fact, they take advantage of that fact. You see, you know, these guys may be crazy in some sense, but they're not stupid. And they know they want to kill as many people as possible because their goal is to get media coverage. And they know the more people they can kill, the more media coverage that they're going to get. And so they go to a place where people aren't able to go and defend themselves. It's beyond me why we can't make it clear that, we just had a school shooting that occurred in California. There are 20 states that allow or have, to varying degrees, have teachers actually carrying guns in school. We just released a report where we looked at all the school shootings in the United States from 2000 on, everything from an accidental discharge where nobody was wounded or harmed, all the way up through mass public shooting. And what you find is that in the schools that have teachers carrying guns, there has not been a school shooting. There's not been a case where somebody who's been wounded or killed by a shooting in any way at those schools. And, you know, nobody's been shot. And, you know, all these school shootings keep on occurring in those schools where people aren't allowed to protect themselves. You know, if you look at school hours, anything even close to school hours, people don't attack those schools where teachers are able to carry. And it's understandable. Even if you have an officer there, you have somebody in uniform, if he's the only person who's, you know, has a gun and a killer is going to attack, who's the first person that they're going to shoot? If you have an officer in uniform, it's like somebody with a neon sign above them that says, shoot me first. Because the killer knows if they kill that person, that's the only person that can stop them, and they'll essentially have free reign to go after other people in the school there. So, I mean, it's frustrating. You see these things, and it's just not, you know, it just doesn't seem like there are serious discussions about this.
No, definitely not. And no place less serious than in the Congress. And, you know, they're programmed that the second there is a shooting, a mass shooting, the gun control forces are out, and, you know, it's the same old, same old.
Right.
So are we winning this war, or are we losing this war here?
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Otis Gold Corp. is a gold development and exploration company with quality projects in the pro-mining state of Idaho. Otis's flagship Kilgore project has a resource of 961,000 gold ounces, and its recently published preliminary economic assessment demonstrated an impressive post-tax IRR of 53% at $1,500 gold. In addition to the significant expansion potential at Kilgore, Otis is exploring its highly prospective Oakley project. This Carlin-type gold deposit already has an inferred resource and previous near-surface drilling intersected 123 meters of 0.69 grams per ton gold. Otis Gold Corp. trades in New York under the ticker OGLDF and in Toronto under the ticker OOO. That's 000. To learn more, go to otisgold.com. That's otisgold.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, I mean, I think it depends on where you're at. I mean, if you live in Virginia, you probably have lost the war. There's like a dozen gun control laws that they have where they're going to be banning in beginning of the year a whole range of different guns and require that they be confiscated and turned into the government. They're going to have very strict, all sorts of strict gun control laws there. And it's basically going to be the law-abiding good citizens who are going to be the ones who are going to suffer as a result of that. You know, if you live in some other state, it's a lot easier to defend yourself. There are 16 states now that are constitutional carry states. You know, you look at the number of concealed carry permits that are out there, constitutional carry where you don't even need a permit to be able to carry a concealed handgun. You have 43 right to carry states or constitutional carry states. You have about 19 million Americans that have concealed carry permits. That's up from about 4.6 million back in 2007. That's a huge increase that's there. And those areas would have seen the biggest increases, have seen the biggest relative drop in violent crime rate. So, I mean, there have been some significant improvements. And but, you know, it's basically this coming election next year, I think, going to determine a lot of what's going to happen. If you can get one more person on the Supreme Court, I think it'll make a huge difference for these cases. You know, because basically what the Democrats try to do in many places is just make it very costly for people to be able to go and get guns. And one of these things you mentioned, the universal background checks. If you want to privately transfer a gun in a place like Washington, D.C. or New York City, it costs at least $125 just to do the background check. We're not talking about the licensing or fees or other things, just the cost of the background check to privately transfer a gun. I just give you an idea of how they go out of the way to make it costly. If you and I lived in D.C., and I wanted to give you four guns, you would think I'm just giving it to you, Harry. And you would, it'd be one background check. But right. No, they have a background check on each gun. So if I want to give you four guns, rather than paying for one background check for $125, I'd have to pay $500 to go and transfer the guns to you. You know, it's just obviously those types of things, you see those things, and it's pretty clear why they have them set up the way they do. One of the ironies is, if my research convinces me of anything, the people who benefit the most from owning guns are the people who are most likely to face violent crime. And those overwhelmingly tend to be poor blacks who live in high crime urban areas. But yet, you see all these fees and other things that Democrats want to have. I'll just give you a simple example. You compare Indiana, which is a Republican state, to Illinois, which is a heavily Democratic state. In order to go and get a concealed carry permit in Illinois, it costs you $450 on up. Only about 2% of the adult population has permit. It's basically people who live in the suburbs, relatively wealthy individuals, overwhelmingly white individuals. In neighboring Indiana, now it costs nothing to go and get a permit. It costs like $47 up until April this year, but now they've lowered it to zero. Yeah,
they're having a sale, huh? Yeah, well,
and they have like 17.5% of the adult population in Indiana that has a concealed carry permit. They have a high rate of minorities, much higher than their share of the population, that have permits in Indiana. I mean, so you have a heavily Democratic state that makes it so that very few blacks are able to afford $450. And it's not just that. You have to get 2 days of training, okay? There's no training facilities in Chicago. You're not allowed to take your gun, even once you've gotten your permit, on public transportation. And so let's say you're a poor person who lives in Chicago, and you're even willing to pay the $450 to go and get the permit that's there. I mean, we're not even talking about the price of the gun yet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to figure out some way to go way outside the city of Chicago to go and get training. If you don't own a car, you're going to have to borrow one because you can't go on a bus or a train or anything else to be able to go out there to go and get training. It's kind of like they said, what are all the things that we can do to make it so that poor minorities aren't going to be able to go and get a permit to be able to go and protect themselves and their families? So it's just, you know, you look at a place like Los Angeles, where you have discretion. It's up to the local sheriff there or the police chiefs to determine who goes and gets a concealed carry permit. A few years ago, we got a list of all the people that have a concealed carry permit in Los Angeles County. We're about 216 people out of about 8.5 million adults that had a concealed carry permit. And when you look at it, it's overwhelmingly white males who are wealthy. Nationwide, about 13% of permit holders are black. In Los Angeles County, it's a little bit over 6%. Los Angeles County, over half the population is Hispanic, about 54%. Only a little bit over 6% of the permit holders are Hispanic. Women make up over half the population in Los Angeles County. Nationwide, they make up over a third of permit holders. And yet in Los Angeles County, it's only about 7% of permit holders are women. Now, maybe women are not, you know, don't have stalkers in Los Angeles County or don't have other crimes being committed against them. But the more likely scenario is that they're asking for permits, but the Democrats who control the process there are simply refusing to go and give permits to poor individuals or to minorities or to women. You know, it's just an interesting kind of take on the world.
Yeah. So what about what's happening in the courts? What do you think? Are there any, there's a couple of major cases coming up. One, a partial contest of the controversial New York City law about handguns.
Right. Well, that case, I don't know. We'll see. It's potentially a big case, in the sense that the two previous cases, the Heller and McDonald cases, said that people had a fundamental right to own a gun in their home. It didn't address the issue of the bear part, other than just to say, in Scalia's opinion, that to keep and bear arms meant that you had a right to own a gun, the keep part, and a right to carry it, the bear part. But it wasn't part of the case. And so it's what they call dicta in, lawyers refer to.
Yep.
And so this case potentially could make a big difference in that. What happened was New York City, after it lost the appeals court case, changed their law slightly to make it so that it wasn't quite as draconian. Just so people know, you have to get a permit to own a gun, a handgun, in New York City. But the permit only allowed you to take the gun to your residence or to one of the 7 approved firing ranges within the city. If, let's say, you had another residence, even within the city, you were banned from being able to go and move the gun from one residence to another, or you were banned to even take it out of the city. You couldn't even take the gun out of the city.
Right.
The only place you could transfer it between was the firing range and your home. And, it's pretty ridiculous ordinance that they had there, and that was challenged. Now, they loosened it up so that now you can go and take it to a list of other specifically approved places. But if you were to just take the gun with you on a trip, that would still be prohibited. So I hope that there's a chance that this case could be used to go and make the simple statement that people, that the keep part is relevant, and that keep and bear, the bear part is relevant, and that people are allowed to carry a gun.
Hey, and one thing about Roberts, you can say he's unreliable on a lot of issues, but on the gun issue, he's definitely been reliable, hasn't he?
Well, he voted the right way in both the McDonald and Heller decisions. The question is, just because you say that people have a fundamental right to own a gun, there's a lot of questions beyond that that the courts really haven't addressed. And the concern is that he may be the weak link right now on how far the court's willing to go. It definitely seems over recent years, he's probably been the one who's kind of kept, but it's been 9 years since the Supreme Court last dealt with any type of Second Amendment issue, really. And the concern has been that that Roberts may have been part of what was holding up the court addressing the issue again. So one of the reasons why this election next year may be so crucial is that if you can pick up one more Supreme Court justice, it could make a huge difference.
Difference.
And the cases that they're taking.
Yep, it will make all the difference for certain. So if there's no other reason, and we would be remiss, John, if we didn't mention that this bumper crop of Democratic candidates is more anti-gun than anyone that's come before him. Now, Beto is gone, but his memory lives on, and he was in favor of confiscation of so-called assault weapons, which don't really exist only in the mind of a Democrat.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the whole notion of assault weapons is something that's been pretty poorly defined or talked about. So you have, people talk about AR-15s. That's a common thing. But, an AR-15 is a semi-automatic rifle that looks like an M16. It's not the weapon of war that everybody refers to. It's the same as any small caliber hunting rifle. Now, if you want to go and ban all small caliber and maybe large caliber hunting rifles, fine. Let's talk about that. They think they can finesse this by just saying, well, we'll just ban guns that look like military weapons. But there's no military in the world that uses just a purely semi-automatic rifle. They have rifles that have machine gun modes in them. You know, so semi-automatic is one pull the trigger, one bullet comes out, it reloads itself, one pull the trigger, one bullet comes out. Machine gun or fully automatic is as long as you depress the trigger, you're going to have bullets coming out.
Yeah.
And so, but, you know, they don't want to do that. Most guns owned in the United States are semi-automatics, and they know if they were to do that, people would be upset about that. So they, you know, have these kind of illogical things. I don't know. Yeah. By banning certain guns based on how they look versus how they function makes a lot of sense.
Definitely, for sure. Hey, one thing that we'd also be remiss not mentioning is the removal of Broward County Sheriff Scott Israel. It almost took a proclamation from the governor and then hearings and, you know, even some of the Republicans voted against it. It was kind of crazy, but they did remove him finally. And what amazed me is that after everything that came out, there were still people that were supporting him. It just made no sense to me.
Right. Well, unfortunately, I have to run now. All right. But I greatly appreciate your time on all this. And
likewise, John, I really appreciate it. I realized that we ran over. Anyways, questions, comments for Dr. Lutt, email me kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network. John, we'll talk to you again real soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kerry.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.